Welcome, Toastmasters, Whoopi Toastmasters, listeners and friends. You're most welcome to the Talk Show with Talkers here on IrishTalkers.com. You can send us a message by emailing us on info@IrishTalkers.com, or you can look us up on Facebook, if we ever bother to look at Facebook, because being oldies, we don't tend to spend much time on Facebook, sadly. But there we are. My name is Moira O'Brien, and I'm joined today by the felicitous Mr. Finnegan. Yeah, sort of works, doesn't it, James? Good afternoon,
I'll
James.
I'll take it.
You'll take it, good. And this week is our interview week, and we have a familiar face sitting in front of us, but I'm going to hand over to James to introduce our esteemed guest.
Well, thank you very, very much, Moira. I am absolutely delighted that we finally corralled David Clinton into coming into the studio. He's been a guest almost so many times. But you will know David from a multitude of District 71 events, because he's one of the gurus behind the scenes that makes sure everything runs smoothly. But for once, we've got him front of house as opposed to behind the scenes. David, you're very welcome to Talk Show for Talkers.
Good afternoon, James. I'm delighted to be here, finally.
Tell me, David, I know you're a fanatical member of Toastmasters for Golf, because you normally have your golf clubs subtly placed just behind your chair. Today, now, I've had to look carefully to find the clubs. Don't tell me you've given up the game at this stage.
Well, the truth be known, James, I'm actually just back from the golf course, where I've been doing some putting for about 20 minutes in the very windy conditions of the Royal Curragh this afternoon. It's sunny, it's a little bit chilly, but quite windy. And it was due to the recent encouragement by the local professional golfer that really I should focus on my short game. Little did he realize, when he said short, I said, well, that has to be my putting for sure. I think he meant chipping and putting, but let's just say it's a work in progress.
Isn't it always? Don't forget, David, you what is it? You putt for dough, isn't that correct?
That's it, yeah.
If you think it's easy where you are, you ought to come out to Tralee Golf Club, nicely on the Atlantic coast.
Well, I'm delighted to hear you've just extended a free invitation to Tralee, and I take you up in that one of these days, James.
No problem, David. But for the benefit of the listeners, unfortunately, it's a one-shot-only offer. David, what brought you to Toastmasters in the first place?
A very good question, James. To be quite honest with you, I had visited a Toastmasters club more than 20 years ago. I think it was in Naas in County Kildare. And at that time, I had a lot going on. I was very busy with work and family life. And I wanted to see, could this possibly be an outlet of interest from a social perspective, but also because I have an interest in creative writing. But at that time, I felt the formality of it and the quality of the speeches, quite frankly, left me coming away from the meeting, scratching my head, saying, boy, I don't know if I could match that. But then 20 years later, at the invitation of a friend, I went to Kildare Toastmasters to watch this close friend of mine delivering a speech entitled Porrick Pierce's Pistol. And a most unusual title. And what was even more unusual was that the speaker in question had a great interest in travel. And this speech was about how he was inspired in the space of travel. And I was wondering, how could there be a connection between Padraig Pearse's pistol and this gentleman's interest in travel? He was indeed a sports photojournalist, but he was also a travel journalist. And it transpired that when Padraig Pearse, after the Easter Rising, surrendered to General Love, he actually gave his equipment as in his pistol, his ammunition, his canteen with his food. By the way, there were two large onions inside the canteen, which I thought was an unusual nibble for anybody in that position, but maybe he was trying to scare away the opposition at the time. But yes, he also had a sword. And the gentleman he surrendered these items to was Captain Harry de Courcy Wheeler, who was the staff captain to General William Love. And where's the connection, you might say? Well, many years later, after Captain Harry de Courcy Wheeler retired, he employed my friend's father as a gardener. And during the course of his employment, Mr. Wheeler decided to give his gardener an atlas, which was covered in a bronze plate effect. And it was this atlas which inspired his son to travel. And towards the end of the speech, I was wondering whether he was going to actually produce Padre Pierce's pistol, which I would have been interested in. He didn't produce the pistol, but he did produce the atlas, which was quite battered. It was the original item. I'm sure it dated 80 or 90 years old, but it was a treasured part of his collection. And it was such a fabulous story that I said, you know what? I wouldn't mind coming back again, which I did 2 weeks later to the next meeting, only to be almost kidnapped by the president of the club when I returned. Oh, would you like to join? And I actually said, well, I haven't even thought about joining. I just came because I enjoyed the experience so much the last time. So I inquired about membership and I said, okay, I'm up for this. Because in my kit bag, I didn't have two onions. I had the makings of 8 or 10 speeches from my creative writings. And that was going to give me my CC10 in quick stead if I managed to produce it. Within a few weeks, I did my first speech. And for the first time in my life, I won't say the last, I received a standing ovation, which was a new experience, I would have to say. And there you have it. That's my story.
That's fascinating, David. First of all, kudos to the speech maker to have such a title as Padraic Pierce's Pistols, which is, I would say, very dangerous, particularly if you say it quickly and you notice how I slow down. The second thing is, isn't it wonderful? A wonderful thing about Toastmasters meetings is that you learn something new about someone's background, about someone's family, about someone's workplaces, places they visited. What do you think is the greatest benefit of being a member of Toastmasters?
For me personally, the great benefit, aside from the knowledge and the stories and the education in the greater world that you receive from the life experiences of other people, it's the wonderful friendships that you make. And earlier you mentioned my number one favorite club, which is Toastmasters for Golf. And I was a founding father of that club with two others, Garrod Murphy and also Paul Amani, who are steadfast Toastmasters. But the extraordinary thing that came out of the formation of that club was the wonderful friendships that we have with our members around the world. Almost to the point of saying that there are certain people in our club, you just cannot get rid of them because they enjoy themselves too much to want to leave and go to another place. And whether they live in Lima in Peru, as Jim Plunkett, who claims to be a cousin of mine, by the way, but that's another story. He lives thousands of miles away and he keeps pitching for our members to go and play golf in his local club. The interesting thing about Jim, of course, is he's the only member of Toastmasters for Golf who actually claims to have a hole-in-one. And he scored his hole-in-one at 84 years of age. So the thing for me is the friendship, the wonderful friendships that we have. And that's not unique in many clubs, but for our clubs, it is particularly strong. And the fact that we play a lot of golf opens during the year, which Moira will attest to because she's done some film work for us and is invited to appear at our Toastmasters for Golf event at the 424 on the 9th of May to film yet another golden movie of Toastmasters for Golf in action.
Now, Moira, there's an offer that you can't refuse.
Well, sadly, I have to refuse it because I'm going to be in England at the time. You forgot, David. But there will be another opportunity later in the year, I'm sure.
There will be another event, indeed.
And David, we're both so glad that you mentioned Paula Mahoney, who is an esteemed member of this little band of brothers and sisters that bring this podcast to your attention.
Absolutely. An astounding member, you might say. An astounding member. And always enthusiastic about Toastmasters, but even more enthusiastic about the game of golf, I have to say.
Yes, I knew of his enthusiasm for Toastmasters, but when I got him onto golf, there was no shutting him up.
Indeed.
Tell me, what have you found the biggest Toastmaster challenge?
For me, when I joined Toastmasters, I suppose I was looking for that little bit of interest to try my hand at public speaking and reproducing the stories which I had written from a creative writing perspective. But as time went on and I moved into leadership roles, I found different interests, connecting and networking with other people in different parts of the world, people with different skill sets. And one of the areas I found I was quite deficient in was IT. And I felt when COVID, the pandemic, erupted and we were all faced with finding an alternative means to face-to-face meetings, and we went on Zoom, I said, well, here's an opportunity for me to learn new skills. I tried certain things and failed pretty badly. As a consequence of those failings, I became quite strong in those areas because of the learning experiences. I'm now in a position where I would regard myself as being quite proficient in that space. So the challenge, obviously, was my deficiency in IT and online platforms. And I now find it a comfort. I find it a joy almost being involved in that space. But even more, I'm now in a position where I'm actually training people to do that very same job. And it's that joy, that interest in sharing the knowledge that has always fascinated me. You're not looking for thanks. You're really looking to see, can the person acquire the skill and feel empowered in doing so? And I'm happy to say that so far, so good.
Well, I can add my testimony to your enthusiasm to encourage other people, because first of all, I'm surprised to hear that you only started on the technical side during COVID, but I found since then, and whenever we've worked together, you have been a font of enthusiasm and support, even to the extent of, can we get someone to shadow you on the day to learn on the job? And you're very generous with your skills. And as I said earlier, District 71 is grateful in so many ways for your expertise behind the scenes, and this is why we wanted you to get out from behind the shadows and in front of the microphone. Tell me, how's the creative writing going now?
It's funny, actually, if there's one thing that has suffered as a consequence of learning new skills, it's probably the creative writing department. But with your assistance recently, I have been getting back into it without you knowing it, quite frankly. Your recent speech-a-thon encouraged me to have a shot at doing something in the space of humour. And I was delighted to present a fiesta of golf at your recent speech-a-thon. I like little challenges like that. One of the techniques I've always enjoyed in creative writing is when someone can give you an object of any sort and say, write a piece of prose about the object or write a story. And it's amazing how the mind responds to that. And for whatever reason, it seems to trigger a very comprehensive response from me. So I've recently been trying to do that, challenge myself to get back into the creative writing space by picking unusual things. I've been reading up on screenwriting and the techniques used there. And one of the interesting things about screenwriting that's suggested is that you almost approach it like table topics. If you're trying to come up with an idea for a play or a screenplay, that you pick your character. You could say it's a dentist, a doctor, a bin man, a painter, whatever. Place is another aspect. What's your topic? It could be completely random. And what's the location? Is it a house? Is it a train? Is it a plane, a bicycle, or somebody's sitting room? And I was recently suggesting, actually, this would be a great form of table topics, that you would simply say to people, okay, give me a number between 1 and 7. Okay, you've picked 6. Your character is a dentist. Next column, location, the bedroom. Yeah, you've picked number 4 or something like that. But it would be done randomly. And then you might say to them, we're going to come back to you in 5 minutes. And I think that would be a tremendous way to do topics, don't you?
Well, I think you're just the guy to come up with that sort of idea and to throw it at a Toastmaster meeting. Isn't that wonderful that you've found a way to use that new phrase, to pivot into a different aspect of Toastmasters that you've brought into your creative life? Tell me, David, is there anything about Toastmasters that you'd change?
I suppose for many Toastmasters who are not in leadership roles, are involved at the level of working at district in a leadership role, it can often be confusing as to what's all the fuss about. And what's all the fuss about? Well, they're usually referring to the rules and the guidelines and the stipulations. And there's an element of switch off, I suppose, with regular members when it comes to this type of red tape, as we might call it in the real world. And if that was, if we were to change up anything, we would be trying to put it to our membership that these are things not to be worried about, that these are actually bells and whistles to provide security within the organization, to ensure fair play, to ensure there's equity, not just equality, and that diversity is embraced. But when you look at the backdrop and the systems that are put in place to do that in a leadership role, it can be quite daunting. But thank goodness, for the most part, the regular membership doesn't get to experience that. So when they're encouraged into roles, they start to see a little bit more of that. But it's only when they move up the chain, they tend to see a lot of that. For me, it's still quite weighty, all of that infrastructure in the background. I know it's one of these things that as times move on, we seem to embrace more and more of this infrastructure for all these different reasons. But there's a part of me wishes that, you know, we had a utopian world where we didn't have to rely on these things. Can we change things? I'm not terribly sure. I think we need these belts and braces to ensure that everybody gets a fair shake. I suppose from my point of view, what I would like to see in Toastmasters is that we're very much about empowering people to make the best of themselves. That it's in layman's terms, that we don't overcomplicate the terminology or over-formalize. You know, I've heard the phrase often used by the likes of Jurgen Klopp, be the best version of yourself. And isn't that a tremendous aim in life, to be the best version of yourself? And that's what I'd like to see. I'd like to see our membership embrace that as their challenge and their way forward as members of Toastmasters.
David, what keeps you involved in Toastmasters? What makes you come back?
Well, James, I give you some credit here, but it's the new friendships. It's the interesting stories. It's the realization that, you know, you may think you are a well-experienced Toastmaster, but I find almost every day there's something that I don't know or that I feel I can improve upon. And I realize also there are times when even the most experienced and the most confident need to realize that you don't know everything. If you were a perfectionist and you thought you'd reach that perfect level, how disappointing that would be, wouldn't it? That there's nothing more to learn.
I wouldn't know, David, and I don't think I ever will know.
Again, kindred spirits, James. What can I say?
Well, exactly. But you've hit upon a great point in that you're again one of these people that we've worked together for a long time, but we didn't actually meet until conference in Liverpool. And of course, you're heavily involved in conference in Portlaoise later on this year. Would you like to say something about where we're at the moment?
Yes, indeed. I think we're in for some great crack in Portlaoise. I think it's going to be an exciting weekend. Of course, Toastmasters for Golf are kicking things off in their usual spirit by providing one of the keynote events on Thursday, the 9th of May at 12:30 at the Heath Golf Course. A shame Moira won't be there. We might have to use hybrid or something to include her, even though she'll be somewhere else. But indeed, the conference itself will have keynote speakers in the form of Roger Cesar, a former world champion. We will have fantastic trainers doing workshops of an inspiring and interesting nature. There'll be networking opportunities where we get to meet people for the first time, perhaps like you and I did in Liverpool last year, where, who knows, you might even make a new friend. Fortunately for us, James, we got there pretty quickly. It was a bit of a struggle, but we got there quickly.
I know. It was the accent, you couldn't understand it.
Indeed. The conference in the collection in Portlaoise is easily accessed. It's quite near to Dublin Airport. It's on the main route with regard to airport shuttles. There's plenty of local accommodation if attendees can't manage to book into the hotel itself. There's plenty available locally, and you're not too distant from other local towns, which can also provide excellent accommodation. But the programme of events, including the Anglo-Irish meeting on the Thursday night, that's a standout event. There will also be an open mic on the Friday night, I believe. Not quite sure on the details of what that will entail. It might be poetry, it might be prose, it might be just an open mic for people to do any form of entertainment they wish, within reason, of course. Needs to be appropriate for the event.
It sounds to me like there's another place there for Padraig Pearce's pistols.
Who knows?
Or even a golfing fiesta.
Aha. Well, my hope is that one of the speeches that might be accommodated at the Anglo-Irish event will be the winning speech from the Tall Tales contest yet to take place at Toastmasters for Golf in April. So we're hoping that the winner of that contest might be afforded the opportunity to reprise the speech at the Anglo-Irish on the Thursday night in the collection. So fingers crossed, James.
Gosh, if only there was a member of Toastmasters for Golf on the organising committee of the conference. Work away on that, David. So apart from meeting people, helping people, encouraging people, creative writing. What do you do outside Toastmasters?
Well, I think you know I do one thing for sure anyway, which is play a fair bit of golf. What some people won't realize is that in my professional career over the last 25 years, I've been a children's event manager. I'm actually a magician and a ventriloquist. And a point of note at this juncture, actually, Toastmasters for Golf is the only club in the world with two magicians and one hypnotist. Beat that, guys. But I digress. Am I a gardener? Not often. I mow the lawn occasionally when asked to do so. I occasionally do some painting, James, and I don't mean of the artistic type. I've recently just repainted my hall in two colours or three at my wife's insistence. But I'm semi-retired. I do, as Moira does, some accommodation for holidaymakers and business people on the move. And those are my main occupations at the present time.
I think you do yourself a slight disservice by saying you're just a painter, because every time I ring you, you're painting. It's like the fourth bridge, your hall. It never ends. When you get to the end, you have to start again.
You said it. That's and, for sure.
And that's the same with the Talk Show for Talkers. When we get to the end, we just have to start again. Thank you very much, David. Thank you, James. That was fascinating. I've thoroughly enjoyed listening to you. That brings us to the end of this week's show. I'll be delighted to see you again next week when we will have our magazine version of the show. But for now, from me, Moira O'Brien, from James Finnegan, and from David Clinton, goodbye for now. Bye.
Goodbye for now.
Bye.